You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. If you want to get involved and talk to us, we would love to have you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The weather is going to be cold and rainy all week, but then summer will come and the Wisconsin State Fair will
yes.
open, and we will all be gouging ourselves on cream puffs and drinking milk for a dollar in the heat, which is as tasty
amazing.
As that stand is. Some days it's too hot. It's like the scene out of Anchorman where milk was a bad idea. I love going and sitting there for a dollar and having my chocolate milk.
Of course.
Because I feel like a little kid. But it's like, oh.
Then you can go
so
get a
hot.
Chocolate chip cookie somewhere on the grounds,
oh,
and it's
man.
Just amazing. But after you do all of that.
Right. And maybe you want to sit in the grandstand, catch a show, Jamie.
That's right. We've got the perfect opportunity. John Mulaney is going to be at the Wisconsin State Fair, appearing on the Bank 5-9 main stage. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he's been on Saturday Night Live, veteran from that, also award-winning comedian. But he's going to be headlining at the fair this year. Tickets are on sale if you want to go check him out, wistatefair.com. But before you do that, you should probably give yourself a chance to win, because we have that opportunity. In fact, we have a pair of tickets, and all you have to do is head over to WRJN.com and sign up. You're going to see a button on the screen. It's going to tell you that you can sign up right there, and you put your name into the drawing for the John Mulaney tickets, and you might be on your way to seeing that at the Wisconsin State Fair this summer after you have your milk and your cookies, because that's definitely how you should do it. And again, WRJN.com. You have through until Sunday to April 5th to enter this contest for the
All
tickets.
Right. Well, do that. That would be a nice Easter
yes.
present if you won those John Mulaney tickets. And I love the State Fair, but there's nowhere more unhealthy to be if you're, because you spend the whole day just eating and drinking, but you walk a ton too.
You do.
So that's how I always justify it. Hey, I'm getting more than my regular steps.
Equals
in. I'm
out.
Walking. Yeah, it does equal out. Does it really? Yes,
eight
cream puffs and an hour of walking.
Burning off the calories.
Burning them off.
If you eat and walk at the same time, they just completely negate each other.
Right, of course. So there's your trick. You want to have a cup of corn dogs? Just walk while you eat them.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. You're going to feel good. Wash them down with some beer. You don't even have to go light beer.
Like a
you
gerbil
can just
in its
that.
Wheel. You're just constantly moving and eating.
I've got to stay fueled up. It's a long day at the fair. I'm walking from the hog exhibition cabin all the way down to the Wisconsin marketplace, past the cream puff pavilion.
Go in strategically with a plan, by the way.
I love to just let the fair wash over me.
Only so you don't have to do the thing where you walk from the hog pavilion all the way back to the other end multiple times. This is usually what we do in my family
I grab
experience.
The map so I know, and I kind of, if there's something I want to go to first, I figure out where that is. And it's always, let's not kid ourselves, it's always the dog diving tent.
Well, that's the best tent.
I could stay there all day. If someone would bring me treats so I never had to leave, I would park by that dog pool and watch these dogs dive. Parker, have you ever watched a dog dive?
I'm not sure that I have.
Oh, it's so, and it's dock diving for
unbelievable.
Dogs.
Unbelievable, dock diving
it's
the greatest.
It's super, and then it makes me feel really bad about my own dog, because I'm like, why can't you
my
do that?
My dog can't do anything. My dog is
my
lazy.
My dog would go to the end of the pier, jump off, and never come up.
Right.
My dog doesn't jump.
This is no fun. Yeah.
I don't know if
you guys aren't playing.
Espy has never even dipped her toe in water. I'm not even sure she would know what to do with that. But it makes me feel bad about my dog. But it is highly entertaining, and they're amazingly talented. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, my dogs don't commit to the bit, so they wouldn't do it.
No.
We'll see if we commit to the bit, we being the country, and most importantly, Donald Trump, because tonight he's going to address the nation and tell us what's going on with the war. Well, the war, as you know, has entered its second month. It's still raging. So there are some headlines coming from that region, and we want to share some of those with you now. The aircraft carrier USS George H.W. Bush is slated to go to the Middle East along with three destroyers. That, according to two U.S. officials, the carrier strike group consists of more than 6,000 sailors. It comes as thousands of soldiers from the 82nd Airborne Division have also begun arriving in the Middle East. That, according to two other U.S. officials.
In other headlines from the Middle East, asked about U.S. President Donald Trump's comment to the Daily Telegraph newspaper that he is considering pulling out of NATO, U.K. Prime Minister Keir Starmer said Britain is, quote, fully committed to NATO. Starmer called it, quote, the single most effective military alliance the world has ever seen. He also told reporters that whatever the pressure on him and others, whatever the noise, he is going to act in the British national interest in all the decisions that he makes. That's how a president should act.
I was going to say, that's leadership right there. And finally, from the Middle East, multiple drones attacked a northern Iraq fuel warehouse linked to British oil and natural gas giant BP. That, according to a firm that operates that facility, no casualties were reported. The attack on a motor oil warehouse occurred in Erbil, the capital city of Iraq's semi-autonomous Kurdish region. The Sardar Group, a major automotive group in Iraq, said in a statement. It said that the facility is owned by Castrol, a subsidiary of BP. The statement said that the first drone hit the facility about 7:20 in the morning before it was attacked again with two more drones while firefighters were still combating the first fire. So still stuff going on, and Iran does not appear to be backing down. They do not appear to be paying heed to our president's plea. Well, it is pleas. He's sounding more and more desperate because he's like, stop. I told you to stop. He reminds me of a parent whose kid just will not listen.
Right. Like they have no control over the situation.
Stop. Yeah. Yeah. You got to admit you're powerless.
Yeah.
As they say in recovery.
Well, unfortunately, he's not going to. And he's going to continue to think that his word is just going to end things on his whim. And that's not exactly what we're going to see happen.
Well, it could end it on our behalf. But
it's not going to for anybody else.
It's not
going to
stop anything else. All right. Well, let's turn our attention hopefully closer to home and maybe not have any. Who am I kidding? Yes, this is a stuff you need to know, Parker.
It's a wake up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we talked last hour about a judge telling Trump he could not build his ballroom anymore. Now, guess what else he can't do? He has to, a judge said that, citing the First Amendment, I'm just going to read it to you because I don't want to muddy it up. A federal judge yesterday agreed to permanently block the Trump administration from implementing a presidential directive to end federal funding for National Public Radio and the Public Broadcasting Service. Those are entities, of course, that the White House has said are counterproductive to American priorities. He is wrong, and now the judge has told him he's wrong. So Big Bird and Elmo and all of the people you listen to on NPR, they're going to get funded again. Hopefully it's not too late. The operational impact of the Judge Randolph Moss's decision was not immediately clear because it's likely that to be appealed, of course it is, and because so much damage has been done to public broadcasting because of the president and Congress. Moss ruled that the president's executive order to cease funding for NPR and PBS is unlawful and unenforceable. The judge said the First Amendment right to free speech, quote, does not tolerate viewpoint discrimination and retaliation of this type, end quote. He went on to say it's difficult to conceive of clearer evidence that a government action is targeted at viewpoints that the president does not like and seeks to squelch. He was nominated to the bench by President, Barack Obama.
Left-wing lunatics. Left-wing lunatics. You know that's what he's going to say.
Activist judges telling me I have to fund people that don't like me. The judge noted that Trump's executive order simply directs that all federal agencies cut off any and all funding to NPR, which is based in Washington, and PBS, which is based in Arlington, Virginia. So let them appeal, but that is good news. If you are a fan of NPR, if you are a fan of PBS, this is good news. While temporary, it's a step in the right direction.
Especially for a lot of rural areas where that is what get for programming, right? Because it is accessible anywhere. Here's my thing with this. I don't understand what the war on PBS and NPR is. Is it the content? Is it because it is free? It allows people to learn things? Is it all of the above? Like, I've never understood the war on this.
Have you ever seen shows on PBS? And
I
listen
have.
To NPR.
I have.
It's full of people of different races, different ethnicities, different sexes. They're inclusive. So I have three letters for you.
D-E-I. I knew it.
Want to throw four more in? W-O-K-E. That's why. They don't cotton to authoritarianism. They include everybody. And they actually, if you're so many of us, probably not Parker, because he was probably watching Nickelodeon or Disney Channel, but most of us grew up on PBS.
Yes.
Most of us learned to read with the help of Sesame Street and PBS. We learned to be kind from Mr. Rogers. We learned to look that aardvarks could actually have families and read and talk. We learned all of those things from PBS.
I loved PBS. I was a PBS kid. My kids grew up on PBS as well. They also did the Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel and all of that. But PBS was a large part of what we did, especially when they were younger on a daily basis.
The only thing PBS ever did wrong was put on Teletubbies, because then I had to sit there with Molly with Tinky Winky and Waddle Twaddle and Boodle Hoodle and whoever the other ones were.
That she was that age. I was glad when that was gone before my kids were born.
Too.
Oh, my goodness. In other headlines for stuff you need to know, Liberal State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor has continued to outraise her conservative opponent in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, bringing in four times more money than conservative State Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar, at least during this latest campaign fundraising period. The last major campaign finance reports in the lead up to the April 7th election were due on March 30th, just over a week before the election. And those new reports show that Taylor raised nearly $2.1 million between February 3rd and March 23rd. Lazar brought in about $515,000, including about $470,000 in monetary donation and the rest in-kind contributions during the same period. Taylor's total includes a $700,000 transfer from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and Lazar received a $60,000 transfer from the Republican Party of Wisconsin. I don't care what these numbers tell you. The election is on April 7th. If you haven't already early voted, you got to get out there and vote, because that's where we make a big difference. And I did a quick search. In Madison alone, 19,000 absentee ballots have been issued. 7,000 is all that have been returned as of right now. This is about a week ago. 2,000 people have voted in person absentee. That's out of nearly 190,000 registered absentee voters. So there's still a lot of ground to make up in this election. So don't let the momentum of No Kings go to waste, I'll say.
No.
And so
go vote.
Yes, yes. MyVote, .wi.gov for information on your polling place and all of that leading up into
April
7th.
And if you're wondering, you can listen to our podcast from Monday with Chris Taylor. So she was on the program. You can go to civicmedia.us, click on our tab and do it. And if you don't have any TV, well. Oh, no, I still got a minute.
You got a minute.
You can, don't forget, the president is talking. Watch the Artemis moon launch tonight. And then at 8 o'clock our time, the president is going to address the nation and tell us all about the war. He said in an interview with NBC News yesterday that we're doing great and that the conflict is coming to an end. Then he told reporters that he expects the U.S. to leave Iran within 2 to 3 weeks. Not that the war will be over. He's bored now, and we're going to move on. So we have to watch it.
Weren't we supposed to end 2 to 3 weeks ago?
Listen, why quibble over dates?
Okay, all right.
Don't. You're paying too much attention, right, Jamie. That's your problem.
Okay.
You listen and you pay attention. So we got
to
stop
doing that.
Yeah, and if you don't want to watch it, we'll talk about it.
We will.
Because we do that.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
8:22 right now. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. You are listening to Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and Jamie, we all the time, all we talk about is how crazy things are. Unprecedented has become a word that we're all getting tattooed on our foreheads. But we are truly, truly living in the most bizarre, stupid timeline in the history of not only this country, but it could be this planet.
Yes.
We all remember where we were on January 6, 2021. We were watching on TV as thousands of people tried to overturn the government. They tried to, they stormed the Capitol. They were revved up by this current president, and they went in, and we saw police officers beaten. We saw police officers injured. We saw people stealing things from the Capitol. Despite all the gaslighting that these were just peaceful people there on a tour, we all know what we saw. Well, we all then saw the president give blanket pardons to people who had been criminally charged in this. Now some of those people are suing not only Capitol Police and Washington, D.C.'s police, Metro Department, because they say that the indiscriminate use of force by police officers repelling the attack caused them physical and emotional injuries. The fact that this might even get to court should make every person in this country furious. Furious. So it was, the lawsuit was filed in Florida, which makes sense. The police officers who were far outnumbered by the protesters, by the insurrectionists. We all saw it. You don't, this is, go to the, if you don't believe me, check the tape.
There's plenty of it.
They fended off this mob for hours.
Yeah.
Congress hid. Joe Don Baker or Mark Wayne Mullen, it's Mark Wayne Mullen, hid. We saw him. Again, pictures of him hiding.
Yeah.
Congress hid. These police officers fought and stood the line. One of them ended up dying. Many were injured. This is where I think the legal system fails us.
Yes.
That this even got to this point. This is not what the legal system is for. Anyway, among the lead plaintiffs for this, A.J. Fisher, he was a member of the Proud Boys. He was charged with assault before his case was pardoned by Donald Trump. He sued with another couple, Patrick and Marie Sullivan, who described being present in the crowd that day, pelted with pepper balls, and afflicted by chemical spray. Now, they were never criminally charged, but they were there, and they were. You had to be pretty close if you were getting hit by the pepper spray.
Yes.
So they're trying to get a group of plaintiffs that include dozens of others to present present that day, and again, I don't even know what to say, because this is one of those things that just infuriates me.
It's like Doctor Strange, and yes, that's a Marvel reference, folks. In and warped us into some sort of time continuum, right?
The metaverse. The
metaverse, and we live in this different variation of time and universe right now. And you're right; it is bizarre world, because these people, for all accounts, violently attacked a building. They were desecrating American history. They assaulted police officers doing their jobs. They tried to stop the democratic process in its tracks. And I don't care what Donald Trump says or didn't say that particular day. If you were there breaking windows, if you were pushing past the barricades, if you were fighting with the police, you were part of this insurrection, because that's what it was. It was an insurrection. It was a riot. There was not peaceful protesting happening that day. They were there with the mission, and they were egged on by this president. And they were part of something that was there's so many ugly parts of our history. And I would put this right up there at the top.
This is a stain on our country.
Of course.
You know, we were nonviolent. Really? Hang Mike Pence? That was nonviolence? A police officer being battered while he was jammed in the doors, screaming for his life? That's nonviolent? I didn't know this was going to happen. I just got caught up in the moment. Well, guess what? There are consequences for being caught up in the moment. You were there. You were part of it. And if a federal judge signs off on this lawsuit, it will be the biggest miscarriage of justice in years.
Are they hoping for Eileen Cannon? Is that why they're filing it in Florida? I mean, it's a serious question. We saw how she aided the president in multiple cases. Honestly, this is complete and total BS. It is, because I hope, and I agree with you, I hope the courts are able to sort this out, because hopefully they're able to do their job. We've seen them do their job twice now in the last day. The courts are doing what they need to do, at least a majority of them. But I'm going to say this. I hope this does get shut down really quickly, because if we start rewriting what happened that day, and if we start treating these people as victims, then, yeah, I truly believe we do live in a different reality, and that's not a better one. It's not one that we need to be a part of, and it makes us worse as a country if we start allowing this to be normal. If in any way we normalize this.
One of the guys who is eligible to be in this group is, his name is Dominic Pozzola. He's a Proud Boy. He's the one who ignited all of it. He smashed a window with a stolen riot shield. And another Proud Boy who unleashed pepper spray at a line of police officers. These are the people who have the audacity to sue the Capitol Police and the D.C. Metro Police. The fact that Donald Trump was able to pardon them is unfathomable. Oh. The fact that there was not more outrage when he did this was unbelievable.
And what I think,
and now that they're doing it,
And what I think bothers me about this even more so is that they're hopeful that this administration is going to look favorably on their claim, and they know they're going to because of the past rhetoric.
Yeah, he already pardoned them.
Right.
He already pardoned
them. Which, by the way, several of them ended up back in prison for much worse things.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's be clear on that.
This is so this is what's going on in the country. This is what we have allowed to happen, and we can only hope and pray that the courts do the right thing on this one.
That's the, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, hey, Tony Evers did some things that.
He did the right thing.
A little good news.
He did the right thing.
We'll talk about it after this. This is Daybreak with Brian and Jamie on the Civic Media Network.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you for joining us this morning. It's 8:35 now on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. It is Daybreak, as Jamie said, 855-75-CIVIC. That's how you talk to us or text us. You want all the numbers? All right, 855-752-4842. If you don't want to have to look at your phone and go, I don't know how to spell civic. Is that with an S-C-H?
Brian?
Yes, Parker?
Hi. I don't know how to do that.
You don't know how to put numbers on a phone?
No, I don't know how to put the
letters.
The letters. I don't get the letters.
You don't get the letters?
I'm 100% serious right now.
They're written right on the keys.
I know, but like, there's like three of them there. How?
Because they correspond, so that number corresponds to those three letters.
But back in the day, you used to, Parker, that's when texting first started. You would have on my Motorola flip phone,
sure,
my Razor, you had to keep pressing that button. So like, if you wanted to say cat, you would have to press the one, two, three times, that would be C. Then you had to wait. And when it reset, you would press it once, and then you'd get the A. And then you'd go down and you'd find the T. Where is the T? T-U-V. Oh, I just pressed this key once, and then I get the T.
Yeah, it was. We were old, Parker.
Yeah, Parker.
Okay.
I used to have to sit in my parents' bathroom with the dial-up phone cord dragged in there so I could talk to my girlfriend
rotary.
In high school.
Did you have the rotary phone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That I get.
God forbid you got one of those, the wall-mounted phones, the dial usually went pretty quick.
Yes.
But some of the old black heavy phones, it took an enormous amount of strength. So if you had a lot of nines in your number or zeros, it was like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, it took forever.
And then you had to wait.
Yeah.
We had the mustard yellow rotary phone. That's what
we had.
It was mustard yellow. Those things weighed 100 pounds. So if you were hauling it into a bathroom to talk to your girlfriend, kudos to you, because it was like hauling a bowling ball around.
Oh, well, it was wall-mounted, so I was only bringing the handset in there.
So the cord.
Yes, the cord. So the phone was right between where we'd go into the bathroom on the left and the laundry room on the right. So there was a phone there, so I could pull it in. And thankfully, you know, you hope that everybody was using the upstairs bathroom, not the downstairs bathroom. But occasionally it'd be like, hurry up, we gotta get it. What are you doing? And that was Parker. That was
romantic.
When you had a landline in the house.
We did have a landline.
Talking to your girlfriend, your mom could pick up the phone.
Yep.
Yep. We did have a landline.
I'm on the phone.
Okay. Sorry. Every time we give the 855-75-CIVIC, I'm really confused. I don't know. I've always wanted to ask.
Interesting.
On your cell phone, there's on the keypad on my cell phone.
But I don't
know how
to get to the letters.
Oh.
It's right there. You just keep hitting them.
But they're... Okay, I think we've digressed enough. Let's just go.
Well, listen, I'm looking at my phone screen right now, and there's letters right there, Parker. They start on 2.
Yeah,
they go
but they're on
nine.
The number. How do you get past? How do you like the number? Do
you
I
have to
put
hit
in,
the number a couple of times?
Does it show up as like 3 2s though?
No. All right. So.
Well,
if
we'll
I
talk
hit...
about it after the show.
Okay. Parker can't be the only Luddite who can't figure this out. But we do need to pay some attention. We've wasted 3 minutes trying to educate Parker on the alphabet.
We have.
We all know it takes way more than
Frank,
that.
Frank, do you have on your staff, Frank? These are the people, this is the guy who's supposed to be supporting us. He can't figure out how to use a letter on a phone. And he's running for Civic, high-tech material or machines,
yes.
Machinery and electronics.
Yeah,
I don't feel confident. All right.
Anyway, so Governor
Tony Evers
did
some work.
What did he do?
You
Brian?
Don't listen, and you don't get to. You started this. You don't get to Donald Trump it and go, "Hey, it's all over." It's over when we decide it's over.
I understand this is my fault. I'm just trying to read
this. Is,
we do
this
have some texts coming in over on our social media. Pam says pagers were great when they were out. Yes. Diana says that remember when they only dialed the last 5 numbers? And Kurt and O'Claire texting this morning. We really were in the money when we got push button wall phones. Oh yeah. Oh,
that was big time.
It was big
when you
stuff.
Got away from when you got away from rotary and you got to touch tone phones.
Oh,
it
was
forget about it.
It was like the houses that got color TV, right? Like, oh, look at how fancy we are.
First people to get cable. Yeah. You got MTV. That's so cool.
Or the remote. You didn't have to turn it by.
No.
Oh,
we had
big stuff.
Yeah, we did.
Big
stuff. That was after I left for school that they got color TVs and remotes.
Big stuff.
Not that they weren't out then.
Right.
We were just too cheap to get any. Parker, it's touchtone phones, same things. We'll get you all straight.
We'll get you figured out.
I think my great grandpa didn't think that TV would become much of a thing, so they didn't get one for a long time.
That checks.
They just stuck to radio.
So it's genetic. Your lack of technical it has passed down.
No. He understood how it worked. He just didn't think it would catch on.
All right.
He didn't think people
much
wanted
like
to see
you with the alphabet. Didn't think it would catch on.
Well,
he didn't think anybody would care about those moving pictures.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay.
All right.
This Governor
is
Evers.
I am baffled by
flummoxed.
This whole conversation. But I do flummoxed is a good word. I like it, and I am. Yesterday, Governor Evers vetoed a bunch of bills that were aimed at restricting gender care and athletic participation for transgender youth. He touted the move as a follow-up on his pledge to reject any policy, quote, that makes Wisconsin a less safe, less inclusive, and less welcoming place for LGBTQ people and kids. I saw the I in there. I see the D for diversity.
Yeah.
He's going out on a limb. He said in a statement, it's been my honor to keep that promise over the course of 2 terms as governor. I'm proud to deliver on that promise again today. Of course, the Republicans had voted to approve that bill, and that would ban doctors from providing gender transition medical care for minors and allow young adults who receive such treatment to sue doctors for a wide range of injuries.
You know, here's the thing with this. Watching people's reaction to what happened yesterday, you'd think that it was some dramatic event that took place.
Right. And you knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming. And this is the same thing we've seen before. Tony Evers, as governor, has vetoed these types of bills. And he has said he would veto these types of bills. So it's not new. There's nothing shocking about him. This. It's him actually doing what he has been doing for years. And the response is a whole lot of pearl clutching that I'm seeing on social media. There's a lot of outrage, and there's a lot of people trying to turn this into something bigger than it really is. But here's the thing. This isn't complicated. It's a personal matter for these families, for these kids. And it affects really, in the heart of it, a small number of people.
Very
but it is
small.
So important. But the way this is being talked about, you'd think that this is happening everywhere all the time. And that's when people need to take a step back and catch up to what is actually happening in the reality of it all.
Well, people fear what they don't understand, and a lot of people because if you're not transgender, you don't understand how that feels. I can empathize, I can support, but if somebody says to me, I felt like I was trapped in another body.
Yeah.
You don't understand it. Well, it's not hurting you. And it's what is going on with someone else. And the fear-mongering and the talking points and the another straw man we have to set up are the trans people who are going to come into your bathrooms and abuse your children. Really? Give me a couple examples of that happening. Because most cases of a child being sexually abused are by someone of the opposite sex who is a predator anyway. It has nothing to do with drag queens or transgender youth or Christy Noem's husband, any of that. I got another mention of it in. I'm not going to let it die. Thank you. But we have to create this evil. And then you have people who are so set in their ways for no reason. They've probably never encountered a transgender person in their lives. No. They may go their whole lives. Some of us
will
go our whole lives and never know a trans person.
I was just going to say, they might interact with somebody almost on a daily basis that they don't even know is trans. And I think, to me, that's...
I'd always know, Jamie.
It's hilarious to me. It's hilarious to me that actually happens, especially for the people who are so outraged in these moments. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, whether you're in a small town, whether you're in some suburb right now, whether you're listening in a city, this isn't something that's impacting your daily life, most likely. I mean, it's just not. But the tone of the conversation is that it absolutely does. This is something that I have to be furious about all the time. No, you don't. Let them be.
Right. And let me say this. You cannot agree with it. That doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right.
You can say, I don't think transgender is blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to say. You have that right. What you don't have a right to do is try to restrict somebody else's health care.
Yes.
There's the difference. Just like with abortion. You can be against abortion. It's okay. Whether it's for your religious beliefs, whatever it is, you can be against that.
You can.
That doesn't mean you get to control everybody else. So if these transgender kids need to go through some sort of whatever medical treatment, whatever counseling, whatever they're going through, that's up to them and their family and their doctor. It's not up to you.
What I think is interesting is we talk about it on the show all the time. Two things can be right at the same time. I know that is a concept that is hard for people to imagine, but it really truly is. Two things can be right at the same time. You don't even have to like abortion or agree with abortion to admit that for some people it is the only option, and in some cases it is life saving for the mother, or for those 10-year-old sexual assault victims. You don't have to agree with the actual act of abortion to know that in some cases it is important, and the same
then don't have one.
Same thing goes into this argument. I don't know why people feel like they have to continually stick their noses into everybody else's business in order to make a point. Is that what we're trying to do? Because
the whole country is militant Gladys Kravitzes who believe that they're the only people who can be right, and their Christian beliefs are the only ones that people should live by. And it doesn't matter the suffering that those beliefs may cause. We can, you want to go back to how far religious beliefs can get you. Look at the Crusades. A lot of horrible things have been done in the name of religion.
Yeah.
So to just say we are a Christian nation, well, first of all, we were not founded as a Christian nation. Go back and read what the founding fathers said, but that's history and it's reading and it's tough.
Oh, you
and
mean
I know
separation of church and state? Is that what we're talking
also
about?
Also that the United States will be not governed by one religion.
Right.
You read Jefferson, read Adams.
There's several references to it, is the point.
There's a lot of statements that we are not a religious ruled nation. And I know some people want that. I know, wouldn't it be easy if we all just believe the same thing? And if you didn't believe, you were an infidel and you were cast out. Well, listen, the country's full of infidels in your eyes. A lot of those infidels are really good people who just happen to not believe what you believe, and you don't get to tell them, and you don't get to change their mind.
I think what bothers me the most about this argument and the pearl clutching that happens here is that when this becomes a political fight that in lots of ways becomes also violent, and it starts creating fear in communities. And we have seen the spotlight be on kids and trans adults. And then we've actually seen people lose their lives or take their own mm-hmm. lives because of this sort of rhetoric, and because people think that they have a say in everybody else's life. And that is not the case. These are individuals that, just like everybody else, should be allowed to live their life in a way that they see fit for them, without any sort of speculation or any sort of input from the government or from any of us, because it's none of our damn business.
That's the thing. It goes back to what you were told as a kid when you were asking too many questions. Mind your own business.
That's right.
And sometimes your business intersects with everybody else's business. A lot of times it does not. So mind your own business. We had Parker put this up because he knows he wanted to get a little bag up. Jean from Eau Claire called. She's 71. She agreed with Parker and thanked him for bringing up his cockamamie theory on not knowing the alphabet on the phones, because she said she has trouble. She didn't use the word cockamamie. I did, because I'm not 71, but I'm, you know, I love the old language. She also said to get your butt out and vote. So I agree with Jean on that. I'm sorry, Jean, that you don't, you're having trouble with the technology. We'll get it figured out.
We'll do a tutorial for you and Parker.
There you go. All right, we'll get to more. It's Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Well, Brian, we made it to the very last segment of the day. And
Goodness.
Like we always like to do, we're going to leave you with something more lighthearted than the political fight that is still ahead of the day.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of heavy news, and you may be thinking, oh, it's baseball season, I want to go. And we had the pleasure of talking to the Brewers last week ahead of opening day, and talking about not only all the improvements and changes at AmFam Field, but the food, which is the most important. And the Brewers are bringing out a lot of fair food this year. They've got new barbecue. They've got sweets. They've got dirty sodas, so you can emulate a Mormon
wife. I've
heard
those are amazing, by the way.
I knew nothing about them.
I don't know anything about a dirty soda.
No, I went and I did research, though, and I found out how they started and what it is. And it's like, okay, it's kind of what we used to do as a kid with Slurpees, where you go in and you'd take half of this and half of this.
Oh, that was the best.
Part of this.
Coke Slurpee
mix it
with
up.
A little cherry in there. And then it was like, it was so good. So good.
And
yes.
now it's a thing.
Okay.
But the Brewers are doing great with their food. Fried Kringle, I'll have some. Cream Puffs, count me in. Nachos on a stick, sounds like a challenge.
Messy.
I don't know.
I've seen the picture. I don't know how you eat it, but I'd try it.
How you put a nacho on a stick?
Well, go to a game, Parker.
When you figure out the numbers so on the phone, when you figure out the numbers on the phone, we'll talk about how you eat a nacho.
You have to call. You have to call the NCHO on a stick, and
I'm
and here's the other
again.
Thing, Parker. If you were doing words that were too long, you were spelling it out, it would just automatically dial when you got to the right amount of numbers.
There are too many numbers at the time.
Anyway, ballparks around the country are always trying to do this. There was a list of some of the most outrageous new food and beverage items for 2026. I want to start with this because I have a nit to pick.
Okay.
This 999 challenge, which in the day when it was created used to be a real thing. You tried to eat a hot dog and a beer every inning. Now, that was a hot dog and a full beer. Well, ballparks really, for I'm guessing legal reasons and cost reasons, they're all selling six ballparks this year are starting a 999 challenge, but it's a rip because it's mini hot dogs, and you get one tall boy of beer to pour in the nine cups. So you're getting less than a shot of beer per inning. Waste of time. Get yourself a full-size hot dog, get a full-size beer, and maybe you do, you know, 4.5.
Man and
maybe
woman
you
up.
do something. But if you want to try the 999, have a designated driver and take the challenge.
All right.
But don't fall into this 999 BS at the ballpark.
No,
they're ripping you off.
Yeah, no, that seems stupid. Next, I want to know what else is next.
All right. Well, this now, my daughter has been to some Pirates games. She lives in Pittsburgh, not far from the park, and says it's one of the best places she's ever seen a ball game. They have a Boricua dog. It's made with a Pittsburgh twist. It's a hot dog made with sofrito beef and topped with Smallman Street Deli kraut, yellow mustard, American cheese, ketchup, braised onion, potato sticks, all of which are housed in a split roll.
Oh my gosh. That's like heartburn on a plate.
It is, but this is with all of these. These all sound good if I'm eating them standing up at a table in the concourse.
Yes.
These do not sound like something I can balance on my knees as I'm sitting in the seat, and I got braised onion and sticks all over me.
You know, I was just going to say, what's going to happen is it's going to go all the way down the front of you, and then the person in front of you is going to be wearing it down their back too, because it's going to drip out everywhere. That's essentially what's going to happen. I mean, I'm always up for some of these in the right situation, but maybe not, sitting in my seat while I'm waiting for everybody and watching the game. Plus, then I just feel it feels messy, and then it feels like I have to bring a fork out, and I don't want to do any of that when I'm in my seat. That's not happening.
this one sounds good. It's happening at the Houston Astros. Brisket donuts. Yes.
Okay.
Couldn't sound more Texas, could it? It's very simple. It's a savory donut full of meat, deep fried. That sounds terrific. They say you're not going to find it anywhere else. Everything's bigger in Texas, so try that. If I were in Seattle, I would have to get one of these.
Oh.
A chocolate mousse.
Yes.
It's a soft serve ice cream. It gets poured into a cone or a classic souvenir helmet. Then they top it with a cartoonish mousse cookie from Mariner Moose's Face and Ears. I guess Mariner Moose is their mascot. Mousse cookies are made in partnership with a local bakery, and so you get to eat that. Now, nowhere on this list was the soft serve in a toilet. Remember, we talked about that the other day, where chocolate soft serve was being served in a plastic toilet. And this is not, that is not a joke. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. You can get it at AmFam. It's super delicious. It does look like a toilet. You're right. But it is delicious. But nobody said, I didn't know I could get a mousse cookie somewhere.
You could get a mousse cookie. Yeah. And that is not an alternative name for unflattering pants. It is a mousse cookie. It's a tasty treat. This they have. Now, I'm a fan that listens on the radio and watches on TV. Unless the team is good, then I'll spend a lot of money. But I may have to go to see the Sox because they and other teams have the machete.
All right. So what is this?
This is a 24-inch quesadilla.
It's filled with
steak. It's grilled on a flat top with melted mozzarella and Oaxaca cheese, house marinated carne asada, smoky guajillo pepper sauce, salsa verde, and cilantro. It is giant. Again, 2 feet of that. It's also, you can get it in Miami and you can get it in Chicago.
Are you supposed to share it, or is it a one person thing?
I don't think there's any shoulds involved with ballpark treats, Jamie.
All right.
You could share it. You could eat it by yourself. You could end up being a glutton, or you could make a party out of it with everyone else.
Would you take this to your seat?
No. How am I going to handle a 24? Unless I'm putting out a crazy sword swallowing display because I'm joining the circus next week.
Maybe you lost a bet or, you know, went on a dare or something. I don't know.
No, I don't know. Then if you're going to Boston, get some lobster poutine.
Ooh.
French fries topped with lobster.
Only $40. No problem.
Listen, why not? Everybody's having fun. All right, we're done. We got to go.
We made it.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of the program. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.